All right, thank you for that. We are back in Psalm chapter 119, and we are in the last lesson. It's going to take a few weeks to get through it on wisdom of the word principles from Psalm chapter 119. We're looking at some of the key verses in there and the truths in which they teach. Last week, we talked about two points. Real hope comes from God's word, and real comfort comes from God's word. And those two go together. I believe we'll get through point 8 and 9 tonight, and those two also go together. And so let's get started with it. Look at number 8, if you have your notes there. Surround yourself with those who are committed to God's word. Surround yourself with those who are committed to God's word. And we'll see the flip side in verse number 9, but I want us to understand who we hang around with is important. And the Bible speaks much about that. And so we're going to look at that. Surround yourself with those who are committed to God's word. Verse number 63 says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The Bible is very clear that the friends we have are vitally important to the type of person we will become. Now, we're going to look at it from the positive and the negative over the next couple points. You can tell the kind, I think you may have this in your notes, you can tell the kind of Christian somebody is by the people they are close to. Now, that doesn't mean we don't try to reach people and encourage people. I'm not saying that. But if you look at a person's circle of friends, you can tell really what type of person, what their level is. For instance, and this is true, not anything else I'm going to say tonight is true, but this particular thing is. If we could take our youth group and we could take them all and go meet with some other youth group of individuals they have never met, and we could go fellowship with them, and within 5 minutes or so, let's say 10 to 15 minutes, should we? They're hanging around talking. The spiritual ones are going to connect with the spiritual ones, and the ones who struggle will be hanging around with the other ones in the other youth group who struggle. That's just how it is. We have a tendency to gravitate towards what we are. And that so we need to be very careful that we choose. There's so many different things you could do to grow. We talk about your time with God or whatever. But one thing that'll help you to grow is choose friends who challenge you to a higher level. Choose friends who, when you're around them, they just by being around them and what they talk to, what they're involved in, and what's going on in their life, they help to make you to where you want to be better or grow as a Christian. The word companion goes, for I am a companion of all them that fear thee. Companion means to be united with someone, associate with them, together with them in fellowship, fellow worshiper, that type of thing. So when you are with the right kind of Christian, you can have true fellowship, be a true companion, because you're serving the same true God. That's why, you know, we use the word, and sometimes we bludgeon it to death, we use it for everything, but I'd rather overuse it than underuse it, the word fellowship. We're having a fellowship. It's not just hanging out. It's not just, you know, whatever. You can call it all that. I'm not against it. But we use the word fellowship because we can fellowship, which is a deeper or a better type of relationship or hanging around each other, because we serve the same God and we have the same goals, desires, and values. Amen. And so our friendship is going to be on a deeper level. You know, if you work somewhere and you befriend some of the people there, and we'll talk about being careful in a minute, you know, and you're trying to, there was a guy, I remember when I was in Bible college, his name was Roman, really good guy. And there was a group of us that worked back on the pallet area, and there was about four or five of us. And a couple was mostly Bible college students, except for this guy. And I got along with him really well, and I witnessed to him all the time. And he would not get saved. He was a very hard Roman Catholic. But you know, we had some areas where we had like common interest or whatever, and I'd use that to kind of to talk to him a little bit and try to witness to him. But you know, we couldn't get that close, because we just didn't have that one thing that was very important in my life that he wanted to have no association with, which was the Lord. It didn't mean I was mean to him at work. We talked a lot. Hey, how's your favorite team doing? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he may make some comment about the church, and I'm talking to him again. But that fellowship, when you have the same beliefs, you can really have a friendship on a whole deeper level. And so companion, that means we're united in his cause. We can be close together with the right kind of people because our unity comes from the same beliefs in our life direction. By the way, what hurts a church is disunity. Yep. Is when someone in a church wants to do something different or go a different direction. We don't have that. We have unity. And so because of that, we can be close companions. So associated together because we're serving the same God. And worshiping together because you have the same love for God. I remember in the early days of my Christianity going to church, I was there for about 6 months, and I was going to everything, but I didn't have a lot of close friends because I was really teenage, but I was no longer in high school, and I wasn't college age, the college and career class, because I wasn't quite there yet. So I just kind of, you know, I'd talk a lot to the older people and stuff, and I really didn't have any close friends my own age until after Brother Black told me I was going to Bible college, and he sent me out of his office with a Bible college application, and another guy my age, John Sanchez, he saw that and started talking to him, and we struck up a friendship, a really good friendship. And why? Because we were going the same, he was going to the same Bible college. And I remember him and I, because of our friendship, and we started working on a bus route together. I remember when we went to Bible college, he had this brilliant idea. Let's save money by doing this drive-away program where somebody gives you they move out of state and they want their car driven out there for them. And so here I am. He was 17, I was 18. I didn't have a driver's license, he did. And we went to the driveway and they gave us a brand new Datsun 280ZX sports car to drive to Chicago. We're like, okay, we're in on that. We had a really good time, okay? Say, did you drive the car without your license? I didn't get to Bible college yet. Didn't know that was wrong. But our friendship was built around the fact we had the same interest. We were going to Bible college together and serving together and so forth. And so we have the right kind of companions. Spiritually, you will never, and this is typically, you will never rise above the level of your friends. You never will. Seek those that are farther along than you. Seek those who are what you want to be. What kind of friends should we have? By the way, that's what people do in life and in professions. Someone in life, they're trying to take up a profession. You know what they'll do? They'll get themselves around people that are in that profession that are farther down the road than they are. Why? So they can get a feel for it and they can learn from them. And so spiritually speaking, let's seek those out whom are farther down the road. Let me just give you a couple of thoughts before we move to the ninth point. What kind of godly friends are we to look for? I just wrote down four here. Do they fear God? That's what the psalmist said. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? It's a proper, godly reverence for God based on the fact we understand we're accountable to him and he knows everything that's going on. We just live in a time when people are very, we want to bring God, you know, everything, we want to bring God down to another cool cat level. I want to serve a God who is a greater God. I want to serve a God that I understand him and I understand my accountability for him and I understand who he is and that he is far, far greater than I am. Do we have a reverence for God? Do we live with awareness of him in our daily life? The average Christian lives their day without any thought of God. That's why it's good you start your mornings with some Bible reading so that you have that thought in your mind and you think about God throughout the day. But the average Christian, you know not what they do is, you know, they may come to church on Sunday and then they go home and they take that Bible that they bring and they set it down and they don't look for it again until the next church service. And we don't give a thought about God. But when we fear God, he is in all of our thoughts. We think about it. And that doesn't mean 24/7 God, but he's always there. He's on the forefront of our mind. If something good happens, you know what we think? Thank God for that. Okay? If a need comes up, we think, you know, let's ask God to help us with that. But do we have a fear and a if you have people that are that you're hanging around with and they don't have that fear of God, you can tell. They're loose in all that they do. That may not be a person you want to be close to, okay? Unless you kind of enter a crowd with them and you can encourage them to go forward. So let's be careful. Let's choose the right kind of friends. They that understand and they that fear God. They obey God. Next. They obey God. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. In other words, they're not just someone putting in their time as a Christian. Now, again, I say this often. I hope you understand what I mean. None of us are perfect. I get it. But you can tell when someone, that's their life. They're just trying to be a good Christian. And I mentioned early on as I started to get some friends in the church, and Johnny was a good guy, there was another group of guys one night on a Friday, like, hey, let's go out. And I thought, well, these are Christian guys. I'll go out with them. Now, we did not do anything, you know, we didn't go drinking or anything or do anything overtly wrong, but just being out with them that night, there was really nothing even remotely spiritual about it. I just had an uneasy feeling. Now, I didn't jump up and say, you know, I rebuke you in the name of, okay, I didn't do any of that. But I just felt, you know what, these aren't bad guys, but these aren't the kind of guys I want to spend a lot of my time with. I mean, I want to be around guys that, you know, we talk sometimes about church and the Lord and all that type of thing. No, I said Christians. I'll be honest with you. There's been people that have come to our church and they were doing good for a while and maybe for whatever reason they get out of church. And there's times we've went with them to try to encourage them. And it's like you just notice when you're around them, their whole conversation is different. You know, before they used to talk about, you know, serving in the church or this or that. And then it's like it's a whole different mentality. It's all different. Okay? I want someone whose life is like, look, we're not perfect, but I try to be a good Christian. I'm just trying to go the right direction. And you guys, what you do is you encourage each other. Next, they know God. They know God. It says, let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimony. They know his testimonies. Why? Because they are being close to God, and they know God. Now, have you ever met, you've been around people that they're just, it's like, I mean, you know, we all try to be close to God, but there's some people around, it's like, they're just at a whole different level. Remember years ago, we had Tom Williams preacher. Remember Tom Williams? Somebody, I was listening to someone preach, they're like, and he's very sincere, godly man. He said they were out to eat somewhere, and they were going to eat, and they were going to pray for the food, and there was something else they wanted to pray about before the meal. Not just the food, there was something else they're going to pray about. And he goes, we need to pray about that right now too. He goes, okay. Right at the restaurant, he got down on his knees next to the table. The guy goes, I felt a little bit uncomfortable. But you know, it was something serious going on. He goes, we need to pray about that right now. It's like, all right, let's do this. And I think he prayed out loud. Now, I don't think that was phony, but there are some people, it's like you're around them. It's like, you know, they know God. Those are the kind of people you want to be around. They understand some things. They're not just following the trends of the day or whatever someone else said. They honestly, they're in their Bibles and they know God. It's the kind of friends you want to get. And then lastly, to make it simple, they live God. He that walketh, and we switch to Proverbs here for this verse, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Now, from our study in Proverbs over the last few years, you understand what a wise person is. Wisdom is the ability to take God's principles and make them a part of your life. In other words, you live them, you apply them, you make them a part of who you are. So, he that walketh, spends time with, is around wise men, we also shall be wise. Many Christians portray one thing, but they are secretly another. Okay? And by the way, if you're struggling with something secretly, deal with it. Don't just stay with it. Deal with it. Move on. One way you can get over a struggle is to go to somebody whom you trust spiritually and just say, listen, I'm struggling with this area in your life. Can you help me with this? We'll pray together. You kind of help keep me accountable, that type of thing. You can do that. But you walk with the wise men, you don't want to be one thing and you want to be what I would call genuine. When I worked in the warehouse, there were several guys there. Whenever I worked, I let them know up front I was a Christian, so I'm working there. And there was other guys that said they were Christians. And I'll just be real honest with you, there was nothing in the way that they lived or worked that was evidence that they really were. And it irritated a lot of the unsaved guys. But there was one guy there named Tom. And I remember as we were sitting there, one of the guys who was the most vocal would come to me and say, they called us hallelujahs. Say, you hallelujahs, that one hallelujah, he's such a hypocrite, and he'd say something. And then he said, but you know something? He goes, that Tom guy, he's the real deal. And he was right, Tom was the real deal. And by the way, he had respect because of that. And by the way, Tom, I think now, he was many years ago, he's been pastoring for many years now. He was just a genuine article. And people know that. So let's just try to be who we say we are. Number 9. Now, That's the head side of the coin. Let's go to the tails. If you're trying to get close to those who try to live God's word, the number 9 is the opposite. Avoid those who live contrary to the word. Avoid them. Okay? I'm sure I'll go over this, but it doesn't mean be rude to them. It doesn't mean be mean to them. And I'm going to show you a verse that I actually read this morning that tells you that you encourage them, but you be very careful about being around them. Okay? Psalm 119, verse 115. Depart from me, ye evildoers. Now, let me explain what the word evildoers mean. Someone who does evil. Okay? That's what it says. Now he tells why. For I will keep the commandments of my God. It's hard to be influenced by those who are committed to the word. It's hard to be a companion of those who are committed to the word when you're still close to those who are not. And by the way, let me just say this. If you hang around somebody and they have no problem being openly not committed to God's word, it says two things. Number one, it says what their respect level for you is. Yeah. And number two, it tells you what they think of your Christianity. Okay? I'm just telling you right there. And so let's be very careful. In our everyday life, we will come into contact with people who are not committed to God or unsaved. And that's okay. You know, it's people you work with. I'm not saying it's, you're working somewhere and some unsaved guy walks by. It's like, excuse me, I can't talk to you. Okay, that's lame. All right? Or you can't sit there and talk to them. You know, befriend them. Could be relatives sometimes. You don't ditch your relatives. But on the other, look, you know, well, that's my uncle. Listen, I could tell you, my uncle wasn't much older than me, and he stayed where we were staying for a while, and he'd take me to places we'd be around. And my mom, well, that's your uncle. You can hang around with him. Listen, if she knows what we were doing when we were together, she would not have let me hang around him. Oh, but that's your uncle. Yeah, it was my uncle. Okay? Just be very careful. Could be people you just come in contact with. It's one thing to come in contact with someone who's unwise, and another thing to draw them in and be a close friend or a companion, as we mentioned, to them. And by the way, it says a lot when an individual says, you know, well, I don't, those church, you church people, you Christians, I get along better with those who are unsaved. That's not a, let me, when someone says, I've had people say that before. Someone, you know what, I'm tired of these Christians. I just get along so much better with unsaved people. Let me just explain that to you. That is not a criticism of church people. That's a criticism of yourself. Okay. Now, does that mean there aren't some church people that need some help and that can be irritating? Oh, yeah. Okay, but listen, don't just throw everybody in a group, you know. I met one Christian who's bad, and I'm tired of you. Look, they're not all bad, you know. That's like saying I met a girl one time, and she was a troublemaker, so therefore all girls are troublemakers. Well, actually they are, but we just lump everything together, don't we? No, sometimes we just like being around those type people because that's who we are. If we are to avoid those who are not godly, we must choose to. That's what the verse teaches us. Depart from me, ye evildoers. And he gives us the reason. For I will keep the commandments of our God. The reason he would tell them to depart or stay away is because I'm keeping the commandments of my God, and I don't want anybody around me that might derail me from keeping the commandments of my God. And I'm telling you, this is a big deal. Listen, as a youth director, and I would tell our teenagers now, and they start going downhill. When they start going downhill, if they're doing good, 95% of the time, it's because they are around the wrong people. And now you can get around the wrong people on social media or whatever. But I used, I work with adults now, and it's like, can I just tell you something? It's not just teenagers. It's everybody. If we allow the wrong crowd to influence us, we're going to go downhill. We're going to go downhill real fast. And so he understood that avoiding them was for the purpose of making sure he maintained himself in obedience to God. One way, I think this is in your paper, one way to tell if you have the right friends is to ask yourself this simple question. It has two parts. When I am around them, do I feel closer to God? Do I want to serve God more? If you say, when I'm around that person, I struggle and I want to serve God less, they're the wrong person. And probably you're struggling too. And sometimes what happens, it's two weaker Christians that maybe aren't bad, but there's two weaker Christians, and what they don't need is each other, they need stronger Christians. Right? And just like, hey, get around. Take that group and go get around some other people that encourage you in the Lord. That's all I'm saying here. Because remember the verse we read, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. You know, there's a flip side to that verse. Look what it says there in your notes, Proverbs 13:20b. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now listen to what this verse says. He says, if we walk with wise men, we shall be wise. We'll learn wisdom from them. That will promote us to obey God. But look what he says. He doesn't say, but a companion of fools shall be foolish. Although you probably will be. He says you'll be destroyed. In other words, because you're hanging around with them, you're probably going to become by them, but you're going to partake of the judgments of God because you're being disobedient. Okay? So there's a punishment there. You know, listen, there was times guys I'd hang around with and I'd get in trouble and my mom said, listen, you cannot hang around with that guy. Why? Because when you hang around with him, he's bad for you. He's getting you in trouble. Now, there were friends like that were true. Their last name was Esposito. Just being honest here. Now, I had another friend I hung around with and it's like, you can't hang around with him. He's getting you in trouble. Now, listen, it wasn't him. It was me. Helping cause the trouble, okay? Now, the Espositos were older, so they taught me in the ways of nonsense. But they did back it up and teach me in the ways of God. Okay? But there was others of my mom's blaming the kid, and I'm like, go ahead, blame him. I'm like, I know that one's me. Okay? She just, you know, but her little mijo never did anything wrong. We cannot help but learn wrong things from wrong people. Remember, Amnon had a friend. Amnon wanted his half-sister, Tamar, and it was just a fantasy. He was never going to do anything about it until he met his cousin, and his cousin said, I got a game plan for you, and he followed it, and bad things happened. That's usually what happens. Now, a couple more things, and we're done here. The Bible teaches very clearly, and we don't like the word, but it's okay, about separation. And that applies to those who are not Christians and also those who may say they're Christians and may not be godly. Now, let me give you a few verses here, and we'll tie a bow on this package and move on. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now, he's telling people in the church, if you see people in the church, and they're not obedient to the apostles' word, which much of the apostles' word became scripture, or they were teaching scriptural principles, or the scriptures, note them. It doesn't mean write them a letter. Hey, how you doing today? It says, note, say, aha, I got that in my mind. And it says, have no company. Don't hang around with that person. Be friendly, and we'll get to that in a minute. Be kind, but they're not your buddy. Unless they're coming for help or they're trying to go the right direction and you're helping them, that's it. Now, here's the flip side. Verse 15, yet count him not, he's not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Okay? It's like he's not your enemy. He's just a Christian who right now is we could call it, you can call it backslidden or whatever you want to call it. He's purposely not living or being obedient to God. Don't company with him. Now, don't give up on him and admonish him as a brother. When you talk to him, encourage him to go the right way. But that doesn't mean we're going to party with each other and hang out and do all those things, because that's probably going to drag you down. You know, it's a hospital principle, right? If you want to get well, if you're sick and you want to get well, you don't go hang around well people to catch their wellness. They're going to catch your sickness. That's what happens. You know, well, I'm doing good. I'm going to go hang around with all these guys that aren't. They're going to drag you down. You need a little more of a group to help each other out. You know, well, they want to hang out with me. All right, you know, a good place to hang out with them? Church, really good place. Youth activities, good place. You know, I just want to get together and talk to you. Soul winning's a really good time to do that. Okay? Spiritual things. Let's be very careful. Well, I want to kind of encourage them. Then have a group of them. Hey, come on over. We'll do this together, and there'll be some other guys here. We'll encourage you that way. But be very careful about connecting. You can get in trouble. And I know people, the thing that goes around, Jesus was a friend of sinners, okay? Well, let me help you with that. He was God in the flesh. No one was going to drag him down. And when it says he was a friend of sinners, that didn't mean he wasn't hung out with them at the bar. It didn't mean he wasn't hung out with them in some thing where he'd be tempted to do sinful things. When Jesus kind of hung out with them, he kind of blew up the parties. They asked him, he was there for a reason, okay? So now again, do we quit on people? We don't do that. Now here's the principle behind it, and we'll be done. Give me a couple minutes. Look at these verses in 2 Corinthians. Says, be ye not unequally yoked together. Now, I want you to notice two things as we read through the verses. He's talking about, first of all, a closeness that we shouldn't have. And then he's going to use a contradiction to show why we shouldn't have this kind of closeness. Okay, let's look through it. Be not unequally yoked together, like two animals yoked together to do work. They're close, they're knitted with unbelievers. Okay, sorry, that's the Bible. I'm not saying we avoid that. We witness to them. We sow them. We're friendly so we can win them. But we're not going to go out hanging out with them. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? There's the contrast. We're seeking to be unrighteous. If they're not saved, it doesn't mean they're bad people, but unsaved people act like unsaved people. It's like you hold a baby. The baby's going potty on themselves. They spit up. They drool. They can't communicate. They fall down. Why? That's what babies do. And unsaved people do what unsaved people do. I'm getting on them for that. I'm just saying. And what communion, that's another closeness word, hath light with darkness? None. They're opposites. And what concord, again, it's a term of closeness, hath Christ with Belial? Good, Christ, Belial, bad. What part, being together, hath he that believeth with he that is an infidel? He does not believe. And what agreement, that's closeness, hath the temple of God, that's, and idols, they're completely different. For ye are the temple of God, the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You can't, you are the temple of God. How can you be around that which is anti-God or not godly? Verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. By the way, we're not saying we're better than you, you're bad. What we're saying is, I want to stay right with God. I have different desires. I have a different direction. I have different values. And if being around us is going to conflict and drag me down, I'm going to choose not to do that. That sounds harsh. I'm not saying sound harsh. You know, we reach everybody and we go after everybody and we'll befriend someone in the right kind of way to win them to Christ. And we're not like, you're evil, I can't. You know what we're doing here. But we cannot just yoke up with them. Now, here's why. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. So I don't like being separate. I didn't say it, he did. I'm sorry about that. Well, I don't like that. Saith the Lord, I'm sorry. Take it up with him, please. He gives you a different message, come see me, but he won't, all right? Now, he tells us why. Are you ready? Touch not the unclean thing, and here it is, and I will receive you. Verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. You know what he says? The reason we have to be careful who we're around and choose to be around godly people, and let's not just hang out and be cool cat and all that stuff with ungodly people, is because of this, and we're done. Because it affects our closeness with God. It comes between me and my God. Listen, if I'm saved and all I want to do is be around people that don't like God, they're not interested in Christianity, and they want to do the things I don't want to do, that's akin to me being married and wanting to hang around a bunch of ladies. That's not good for the relationship with my wife. And it's going to affect our relationship with God. So what do? We choose our close friends, our companions, our company from those that love God and are trying to do the right thing. And the others, we try to reach them if they're unsaved. We try to encourage them to get back on the right path if they're struggling. But if they're in open disobedience, we avoid them. I'm sorry. Well, that was just my friend, and I know they're doing that, and I'm just going to be, I'm sorry. God says that. We need to be very careful how we handle that. Let's pray.